you tonight for the reading of the Word of God in your King James 16:11 Bible. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I tell you what, I don't know, but I think we've been blistered tonight or something. Kind of slow, tad bit slow. All right, with your Bibles open tonight to the book of Psalms, please, and chapter number 37. Psalms and chapter number 37. Read a couple of verses there and bring the thought that God has laid on my heart for this evening. All right. Psalm 37. And I want to read three verses beginning in verse number 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. The Bible said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." May the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's go to him in just a moment of prayer tonight, please. Okay? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the songs we've been able to sing tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship we've enjoyed already with your people. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and blessings upon us. Thank you tonight, Lord, for the privilege it's ours to come into your presence and to praise you in song, to thank you, Lord, in prayer, to lift up your blessed name and to adore it, magnify it, worship it, glorify it. I thank you tonight for saving souls. I thank you for saving me when I was lost and undone. And I'm sure that these tonight in our midst could testify as well that they're so grateful that Jesus passed by where they were and rescued them from a Christless eternity. Have your divine will and way tonight. Do bless those that are sick, those that are not here tonight. Give them the grace that they need and help that they need in their heart. I pray now that you bless the preaching and every soul that's here, every family represented. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 25 tonight. It will be our text verse. It's where the psalmist makes that statement again. "I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." I want to preach for a little while tonight on the thought, the blessing of growing old. The blessing of growing old. Now, be quite honest, you may not think this is for everybody, but I believe the message would be intended for everyone here, because unless the Lord cuts your day short, as sure as I'm standing where I'm at and you're where you are, there's going to come a time when your years are going to slip up on you and you're going to be like David and be able to look back and say, "There was a time when I was young, but now I'm old." And I trust that we'll be able to say as him, "But yet I've never seen a righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And you know, I've lived a while. I'm growing old, I'll put it that way. I don't consider myself an old man. I'm still a pretty young fella. But, growing old is something that I don't think I'm really taking it too well. I'm doing the best with it I know how, but I'm not really doing as well with it as what I should. But nevertheless, the Lord says there that it is a blessing. I believe in this verse what he's saying, that it's a blessing to grow old. He talks about the steps of a good man being ordered by the Lord. And then though he fall, he said he shall be utterly cast down, shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him. And so as we go through this life and travel on to that day of death and begin to grow old, there are some blessings there that God, I believe, would have us to enjoy. Everything about old age is not all that bad. Now, I'll be the very first to say that the pain and that you suffer from and disease in the body is not necessarily a blessing, and it's not easily handled. But it comes with the territory. And we're going to have to be prepared to face it because it is coming our way without a doubt. Now, notice what David said here. I have been young. I have been young. David began living for the Lord at a very early age. He said, I once was young. And, you know, I think it'd be wise for every young person in here to follow in the footsteps of David and begin living for the Lord at a young age. I'll tell you, if you're not careful, you'll let the years get by. And the older you grow, the harder your heart's going to become, and the more difficult it's going to be if you get right with God, and the more and you have less desire in your heart to serve Him. Now, David was just a young man, and yet he was anointed by Samuel to be king over Israel. In fact, he was anointed while Saul was even the king. And David, the youngest of all the sons of Jesse, and yet God anointed him to be the king over a great nation while he was just a young man. And so God had all intention in the world of David at that time, I believe, of growing old. You know, having said that, I want to say this. If you look at your life and how God deals with you in your life, you can pick up on some signs, some evidence that God is going to give you the grace and the ability to live just a little while for Him. God anointed, as I said, David as a young man to be king over Israel. And I don't think God anointed him just to be king for just a few days. I believe it was 40 years that he was king, ruled and reigned over that nation. 7 years in Hebron, I believe, and 33 years in Jerusalem. And so he was anointed to be a king at just a young age. And so our young people ought to get the idea that being young will not allow you to serve the Lord. There's been several men in the Bible I could point out, and I will a couple of them in a minute, that been young men, and yet God used them while they were young to do and accomplish great and mighty things for the honor and the glory of God. And then David was just a young man when he went out into the valley of Elah and fought and conquered Goliath of Gath, the champion of the Philistines. And somebody said, well, young men ought not to be out in these spiritual battles. Well, I don't know exactly how old David was then, but I know he was a young man. He was the youngest of his father's children, and he was really not old enough to be in war, but he went to take some food to his brothers, and he saw that champion, Goliath, come out and brag about and defy the very armies of Israel and defy the very God of Israel. And he looked around and saw no one that was willing to do anything about it. And as a young man, he told the captain of his brother, said, don't let your heart faint for this man. He said, I have fought a bear and a lion. And in so many words, he said, I whooped the living britches off of both of them. And said, you wait and see if this uncircumcised Philistine is not going to be just like them in just a short while. And that, just being a young man, David went out into that valley with just a sling and five smooth stones, and all it took was one to put that giant down, and he conquered him. Somebody said, well, that's just a story that people ought to tell their children to make their children feel good. No, it's not just a story to make children feel good. It's a story that ought to make us older folk feel good. To know that young men can fight in this war against sin and Satan the same as you and I that are older can. David said, I once was young, but he said, I'm now old. But I've yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So you young people in here, you ought to arm yourselves with all the grace of God and learn to do battle in the field of service against Satan and all the little imps and emissaries of hell. Somebody said, preacher, what can we do as young men and women? Well, one thing you can do is pray. You can call upon the name of the Lord. Have you ever thought, young people, about praying for the man of God? Amen. I wonder how many young people in here tonight that really pray for the preacher. I'd trust to say there's probably not many adults that pray for the man of God and pray for the preacher, much less the younger people. And so you young people, there are things you can do in the service of God. And David found out real quick that there was a battle to be fought, And he defeated, they defeated Goliath. And he told his brothers when they reviled him, he told his oldest brother, he said, "Is there not a cause?" Now I want to say to you tonight, you young people, there is a cause. And say to you old people, there is a cause. As far as us older people, there's a younger generation coming up under us. And as far as the younger generation that's here tonight, there's even a younger generation coming up under you. And we ought to continue fighting as our forefathers did. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul said, "I fought a good fight of faith." He fought a good fight and kept the faith. And you and I ought to be doing the same thing by the grace of God. And so David, as a young man, he was young. And yet he was anointed to be king over Israel and then defeated Goliath in that battle in the valley of Elah. And then he was also, as a young man, David was blessed with a great faith in God. I believe that. He had a great faith in God. When he went out to battle Goliath, he didn't go out there in his own strength. He didn't go out in Saul's armor. But he went out in the power of Almighty God. And he did that by faith. Some people said, young people can't have faith. I believe young people can. And by the way, I'm preaching to young and old tonight. I'll get to the old in just a minute. And I'm telling you, I believe young people, there's young people in here tonight that have been supposedly saved long enough that you ought to be fighting some battles, some spiritual battles, and winning them, and growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Amen. And conquering some sin in your life and showing a greater desire in your heart to serve the Lord. I want to say there's more to do in this life than there are to send text messages. Amen. And to watch television. Right. And to play on telephones. And, right. Amen. Right. There's more to do in life than that. That's right. There's some spiritual things that you and I need to be doing, you young people. Spiritual things that you need to be doing. Hey, how many of you in here prayed for your Sunday school teacher this past week? I'm just simply saying that there's things to do. David was a man of great faith. And he had faith in God's protection. He said, I've been young and I'm old. And he said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And so David had great faith in the protecting hand of Almighty God. And, you know, you and I ought to have that tonight. We ought to trust God to protect us in this battle that we're fighting. I believe that's why. You know why a man won't fight? I'm talking about just a natural fight. They're afraid of getting hurt. A lot of men have never fought a fight. And it's not a good thing to do. Don't misunderstand me. But there's a whole lot of men that have never gotten a fight. And the reason they haven't is most of them are really afraid to fight. They don't know what to expect. Don't they? David wasn't afraid of a fight. He jumped right out in the middle of it with both feet, as we'd say, and took Goliath down with one stone and trusted God to protect him while he was out there. And by the way, God did. God put a hedge about him. God protected him while he was out there. And he conquered the Goliath of Gath and won a great victory, wrought a great victory for Israel that day. Now, I want to show you something. Wow, here's the older men. There's Saul, king of Israel. There's David's brothers, all older than him. And all the older men, when Goliath came up, they stood in fear and trembling. And yet this young man, just a young, ruddy-faced boy, if you may, came up with some cheeses for his captains and some food and saw that the battle was raging, saw Goliath, and went out knowing that God would protect him from harm and defeated him that day for the honor and the glory of Almighty God. Amen. That's right. And then I want to say also, he would protect, not only had faith in God's protection, but he had faith in God's provision. He said, I once was young, but now I'm old, and have yet to see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Now, David believed that God would provide for him. You know, we got people today that really, they don't believe that. And I'm not talking about physical food, but I think sometimes we get the idea that God will not provide for you and I. But he will. Not only will he provide food, God will provide grace to help in time of every need. God will be there. He is a very present help in trouble. And God will be there every time you're in trouble. Somebody said, "Preacher, I've been there and haven't seen him." Well, have you opened up your eyes and looked around? I've never got in a battle with the devil. I've never been in a conflict that the Lord has not been there with me. That's right. He has been there to protect me, and He'll be there to protect you as well. Now I got to hurry and get along here. I won't say. Now they've been others. David still as a young man. As an old man. David still had a desire to serve God, and he did serve God. In Psalm 71:16, if you want to turn there, you can. But in Psalm 71 and verse 16, the Bible said, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me when? From my youth." Here's a man that was young. You know why that David could fight the battles when he got old? He had been taught from his youth. Amen. That's right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It pays young people to listen to what God's got to say to you while you're a young man. Because one thing, you're not going to stay young all the time. Somebody said, "Well, I'm never going to get to be an old man like Brother Hall." I wouldn't say that about you. There's one time when I thought turning 16 was everything, buddy. I mean, that was driver's license time. Amen. And I thought turning 16 was an old man, but I've learned 16, I wasn't even dry. I still wet behind the ears. I wasn't even dry behind the ears yet. And that's right. And being taught of the Lord, David said, "I was taught of the Lord as a young man." And so while we're young, we need to be taught of the Lord. He said, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." You know why we can't declare nothing about God today? I'm afraid that we ain't really listening to what God's teaching us. We're not listening to what the Bible has got to say. I believe we listen to what God's got to say and let God teach us from a young man until we're an old man like David was, that we'd be able to not only just rejoice in the Lord, but we'd be like David here. We'd have great joy within our hearts, and we'd be able to declare God's wondrous work. Amen. The reason some folks cannot declare it is because they've never seen God do anything for them. They've never in their life ever seen God do anything for them in their personal life. I want to say to you tonight, if I begin to number the things that God's done for me, friend, there'd be more than the hair of my head. I couldn't count them all. God's been good to this old boy. Now I'm going to say, I want to declare His wondrous works as long as I can. I want to tell sinners about Calvary. Somebody said, "I get tired of hearing about Calvary." You probably need to get there if that's the case. I've never gotten tired. I've never grown tired about hearing about the cross. It was there at the cross that Christ died for my sin. It was there at the cross where He paid a debt that I could not pay. It was there at the cross that He laid a life down that I might have life. It was there at the cross that He died that I might live. It was there at the cross that He shed His blood for my sacrifice. It was there at the cross that He defeated the devil. It was there at the cross that He overcome sin. It was there at the cross, ladies and gentlemen, that He conquered all sin and evil. Amen. For you and I. Amen. That's right. And delivered us. And we ought to be able, because of that, to declare the wondrous works of God and what He has done within our life. Boy, you ask for testimonies and folks just sit there and look at you like Catherine Newgate. Amen. Man, we ought to be like popcorn. We ought to shoot up. And we ought to be talking about Grandma's carbuncle. We ought to be talking about what God, the wondrous works that God's done. Brother, He's done some things nobody else could do. Amen. Jesus has. Wonderful, wonderful, wondrous works of Almighty God. And He goes on to say, "Now also when I'm old and gray-headed," there He is, said, "You taught me when I was young," and said, "I declared thy wondrous works." But He said, "Lord, when I'm old and gray-headed, put me on the shelf." No, He didn't say that. He said, "Oh God," He said, "when I'm old and gray-headed, oh God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." I didn't know this until just the other day. I was listening to one of Brother Larry Raines' tapes that he preached, and I believe he preached it up at Brother Farrell Shepherd's a year ago, not this past January, but a year ago January, in Brother Shepherd's camp meeting. And he made a statement. He said, I never have told anybody this, but he said it was at Brother Hall's in revival when lightning struck that place, and said it blew some of the light sockets plumb out of the building. Said there was a ball of fire rolled up both aisles of that church. And he said, I've never told Brother Hall this. I guess I should. But he said it was there in that meeting that God gave me this verse of Scripture, and that I knew that I was destined to depart from Pleasant View and go out into evangelism, because it was my desire to declare the power of God before I leave this world, to declare the power of God to this generation that knows absolutely nothing about it. Now, I'm telling you, the generation we're living in knows nothing about the power and the presence of Almighty God. We've never seen Him work in such a wonderful way where He can tear sinners' hearts up. Amen. Just tear them up and then turn right around and put them all back together again. Pour in some healing balm of Gilead into them. Amen. And save them by His marvelous grace. This generation has never seen the real power and work of Almighty God as He works in our lives. We trust the money we make, and we don't make enough money to get by. We don't trust God too well. He said, I'm also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. He said, thy righteousness all. And by the way, he said, I never have said this to nobody. But he said it was at Brother Hall's camp meeting that God told me that He was going to launch me out into evangelism. Not just this verse, but that He was going to launch me out into evangelism. Just a matter of time. He said, I guess when I see Brother Hall the next time, or to tell him about that. And I almost come unglued when I heard him say that. Somebody said, why, preacher? I know that's two men that while they've been here, God has given them a new ministry. God led Brother Stennett Ballou into the radio ministry, sitting right over there in that pew several years ago. Then he led Brother Raines into evangelism right here in this same church. Folks, that ought to excite us. Somebody said, why? To know that God has used a little old handful of people along the side of the road in Kentucky. God met with us in such a way. It wasn't us and it wasn't them. It was the fact that God met with us here. And the reason He did, hearts were right with God and He was able to meet with us. God's not always able to meet every place with everybody, because a lot of times people's hearts are not in tune with God and God cannot meet there. And I think that's why we're seeing very little done today. People's hearts are not right with God. God can't meet with the people. And if He can't meet with the people, He cannot give instruction to others around. It's been long time ago since I've been to a camp meeting where God has called missionaries to go to the mission field and called preachers as a priest, amen, that's right, and called men to enter the full-time service of the Lord. Been a long time since I've seen that. That means that they are geared for a shout. Then they go home, and when they lose the shout, they start to pout. They ain't got anything left. I'm telling it right. Brother, there was a time of old-fashioned camp meetings. You didn't lose the camp meeting, didn't leave when the preachers left. It hung around a while. That spirit of joy and power and grace and mercy, that burdened hearts for souls and sinners, didn't leave immediately. It hung around for a little while. It hung around for a little while. I'm going to tell you why. Because it got stirred up in the hearts of the young people. And it got stirred up in the hearts of the old people. Amen. And enabled us. That's right. And blessed us in such a way that we had a desire, ladies and gentlemen, to see something done for the glory of God in our life. Amen. That's right. That's right. He said in verse number 19, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. O God, who is like unto Thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore trouble, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Now, what about that? He's talking about God being so good to him. And all at once he said, He's shown me great and sore troubles. Amen. Somebody said, don't sound like much fun to me. No, that's the way you get to where God wants you to be. You're not going to get there without troubles. You're not going to go far with God without trouble. Hey, by the way, there's going to be some heartache along the way. There's going to be some hurt along the way. From the time that you serve Him when you're young to the time you serve Him when you're old, there's going to be some heartache. Hey, David fought the battles when he was young, but when he got old, he became brokenhearted. Why? Because of the sin that he let crept into his own life and into his family's life. Amen. And it troubled him. It troubled him. He was sore troubled from what had happened in his life. Better believe that's right. I'm going to tell you something. A man can serve God when he's young. You better be careful when you get old. I've never said generally it's old. A lot of times when a man gets old, it's when his children begin to cause him sore troubles. That's right. Are y'all listening to me tonight? God forbid that any of our young people in here or any of our adults ought to get jealous over somebody else in their family. Or get jealous over somebody else in the church. But that's generally when it happens. Are you? Come on now, you smile. Say amen or oh me. Don't make no difference to me one way or the other. But I'm going to tell you, I once was young, but now I'm old. And I have seen from point A to point B some things in my life that I never dreamed would ever happen, but they have happened. They have come to pass, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I've seen people fall out with one another, and I never dreamed to fall out with one another.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I've seen heartache break out in families. But a lot of times it breaks out in those families to get us to where we ought to be. I just told somebody this week. Don't ask me who, I'm not going to tell you. Somebody this week was sitting and crying and weeping. And I said, hey, takes a broken heart and a contrite spirit. God won't despise that. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Sometimes it takes a whole lot to break a heart enough to get that broken heart and that contrite spirit and to get that heart tender enough that God can do something with it. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we have to go through our young days and into our old age and see some sore troubles before our heart will ever get tender enough that God can do something with us and use us for the glory of God. Hey, when David, served God when he was young, but when he got old and his heart was tender and troubled, he yet was ready and had a desire to serve God, and to serve God he did. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now, he said in verse 20, thou, which has showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Now, I won't say also. I'm trying to hurry. I think about other men in the Bible, like David that walked with God, and how God used them. I think about a man by the name of Daniel. Daniel wasn't an old man when he started serving God. Come on, young people. Daniel wasn't an old man when he started serving. But hey, as a young boy, he took a stand against sin. But he took a stand against sin. And here, I got to go on and get to this. He had three Hebrew boys with him that there came a time in their life that they refused to bow to the king's music. And they were, and to his idol, and they were thrown into that fiery furnace. Now I want you to listen carefully to what God showed me this afternoon. We preach big about how God delivered them Hebrews out of that fiery furnace. That's wonderful. I'm glad he delivered them out of that fiery furnace. But I'm going to tell you, that's not the greatest deliverance they had that day. God delivered them from idolatry that day. It was idolatry is what that God, hey, Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow to that idol. That's idolatry.
Amen.
But God delivered them from bowing to that idol and worshiping an idol. Amen. God delivered them not only from a fiery furnace, but from idolatry as well.
Amen.
I never seen that before in my life till tonight.
Amen.
Then Daniel went to that den of lions. Went down into that den of lions and they laid down at his feet. God delivered him. I'm talking about the blessing of walking with God. There's three boys that walked with God and God delivered them. Daniel walked with God and God delivered him. David walked with God and God delivered him. And I'm going to tell you, if you walk with God, God will deliver you as well. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I know that that is exactly right. Now, stay right with me. There is a blessing. The blessing of walking with God. There is a real blessing of walking with God. I thought about a man by the name of Noah that the Bible talks about, I believe, over in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 8. It said, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Now, I'm not out of my text. I'm talking about the blessing of growing old.
Right.
Here is a man that is beginning to grow old. And the Bible said that he walked with God. In fact, the Bible said that he walked with God after he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth 350 years. Can you imagine what all took place in that man's life and what he experienced in 350 years of walking with God after these boys are born? That's not counting what he experienced while he was working with the ark and building the ark to the saving of his family. Amen. Now, he, in walking with God, he was near to the very heart of God. Isn't it a blessing? I'm telling you, I'm growing a little old, and it's a blessing to walk with God today and know that God is near. God's not far away. He's close to each and every one of us. In fact, Paul said, just reach out and touch Him. He's close beside every one of us. I think sometimes we get the idea that God's afar off, but He's not afar off. Folks, He's near and dear to every one of us in here tonight. Amen. Thanks be unto God. Yes, sir. As we walk with God, He walks with us. Amen. As He did those men on the road to Emmaus. The problem with us is we're like those two men walking on the road to Emmaus. God walked, Jesus walked with them, and they didn't even know He was there. They began to talk to Him about Jesus getting up out of the grave, and they didn't even know it was Him that they was talking to.
That's right.
But it was.
That's right.
But it was. Yes, sir. And He's near, and He's near to the heart of God as He walks with it. Then they communicated. God communicated with old Noah as He walked with him. In verse number 13, the Bible said there, "And God said unto Noah." What about that? Walking with God, and God said unto Noah. I want to ask you something tonight. Has God ever spoken to you? Somebody said, "I'm not a charismatic, neither am I." But has God ever spoken to you? It says in chapter 7, I believe in verse number 1, the Bible says there, "And the Lord said unto Noah."
Right.
Somebody said, "Well, now, preacher, God don't talk to us today in an audible voice like I know it. But we got a King James 1611 Bible."
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you, there's plenty in there for God to speak to us through. I once was young, but now I'm old. Now, I'm telling you, God has never forsaken Brother Hall, and I'm going to tell you, He won't forsake you either. He didn't forsake Noah. He ain't not going to forsake me. And I want to say number 3 about Noah. Noah was instructed in the salvation of his house. Here's a man walking with God now. Being an old man walking with God. And God gives him the details and the instructions on building the ark to the saving of his house. Can you get a hold of that? If you're walking with God when you're young, and you're still walking with God when you're old, there's a pretty good chance that God has given you instructions on the saving of your house.
Amen.
Gentlemen, I want to say that's our responsibility.
Amen.
And the very minute that Noah got word from the Lord to start building that ark, he didn't tarry around.
Right.
He began to build the ark. Why? To save his family from destruction. I won't say, hey, you men that are in here. By the way, you old men that are in here. You old men that are in here. It's about time we got our ark built.
Amen.
It's about time we got things prepared. Amen. To the saving of our family, of our household.
Amen.
That's right. For God's honor and for God's glory. And so, he instructed him in the salvation of his house. And I want to say number 2. It's a blessing. It's a blessing of working with God. Can you imagine Noah working with God? That that scripture in Hebrews 11, and I hope I can get something decent for tonight. But that scripture in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, the Bible said, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You know what that word prepare means? That word prepare means to prepare thoroughly by external equipment. Now you'll catch that one after a while. To prepare thoroughly by external equipment. You know what? Hey, you know how we've been prepared? By some external equipment. It wasn't within ourselves to do it. That it was God that gave Noah the instructions. Told him every minute detail of how to build that ark. Now I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It was with external things that God provided salvation for you and I as well. It wasn't nothing within ourselves. We had no power. We had no grace. We had no ability. We had nothing. But I thank God that, hey, externally, on the outside, there was a man by the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, that God sent into the world to die on Calvary for our sins. Amen? That's right. And he that was external away from us, amen, prepared. He prepared. Amen. Now, what is our ark? Our ark is Jesus tonight.
Amen.
That's right. It's been prepared by things without. What about that?
Amen.
I marvel at that.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to say number three. It's a blessing knowing the wisdom of God. In Solomon, in 1 Kings, concerning Solomon, in 1 Kings in chapter number 3, concerning old Solomon. Solomon didn't ask for riches. Didn't ask for gold or silver. Didn't ask for any of these things. But all that he asked for was for wisdom that he might lead God's people. And God told him, said, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, nor asked for a life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise unto thee. I'm going to tell you, there's a man that was young. And he got instruction. And he got old. When he got old, the blessing of growing old was still there.
Amen.
You know why? He not only knew how to work for God, but he also had some wisdom about him.
Right,
you realize that, hey, I'm talking about a man that wrote 3,000 Proverbs.
Right. Amen.
I'm talking about a man that wrote 1,001 songs. That's a whole lot of music, folks. I believe that's more than Tammy Wyandotte wrote. Johnny Trash, that crowd. I say that's a whole lot of wisdom. If you can write 3,000 Proverbs and write 1,001 songs, you've done something pretty good. But I'm going to tell you, his number one hit was Song of Solomon. You can mark that down. That's what that was. That hit the charts. Amen. Come on now. You can smile a little bit. That's right. What a wise man he was. What a wise man he was. In fact, he was so wise that the Bible said that the half of it had never yet been told. It tells about his great wisdom, but it goes on to say half of his about his wisdom was never yet been told. He was once young, but now he's old. And what a blessing it is to walk with God. God, through those years, God has taught him to be wise in his life. Now, I'm going to tell you, hey, if we'll walk with God, when we grow old, God will teach you and I as well to be a little bit wiser than we were when we were young. I'm telling you, a lot of young people have got more zeal than they have wisdom, and a lot of them ain't got any zeal or wisdom.
Amen. Amen.
Are y'all listening? The Bible said he had spiritual discernment. There were two women. They both had a baby. They woke up one morning, one of the babies was dead. One woman said, the living one's mine. The other said, no, the living one's mine. So they went to the king. They thought, We'll let the king make the decision. Solomon, in his wisdom, said, bring me the child. They brought the child to him, and he handed it to one of his men and said, take the child out and slay it. And the woman that that baby belonged to said, no, please don't take it. Said, give the baby to her. And Solomon looked at that woman and told the man, said, give the baby to her. It's hers. Amen. What wisdom. He used some wisdom, didn't he? And God bless him. And I'm going to tell you, God will give us wisdom as we walk with Him. I've got one more point. I'm trying to say some things, but it's rough. Then there's in old age, there's a blessing of witnessing for God. I go back to the life of David. David witnessed to God, and he proved it. He proved that witness by his life. Can you imagine what kind of a witness he was to Saul in the life that he lived? How many times he could have took Saul's life and refused to do it? He wouldn't take his life. Amen. What a witness that he belonged to God. Not only proved by his life, but proved by his love. He had a great love. There was a man by the name of Mephibosheth, crippled on both feet. David said, told his servant, said, you go down and get him, fetch him, bring him up to my house. Said he'll dine under. Hey, he proved his witness by the life that he lived. Folks, can I say this to you tonight? Hey, the older I get, the more I realize that there's more to witnessing than just walking up and knocking on some door and taking somebody down the Romans Road or asking them if they've ever been saved. There's a whole lot more to witness than that. There's people out there that want to see something in your life and in my life to prove to them that we've got what we say we've got. And the shame, it's a shame that a lot of times we don't learn that until we're old. I once was young, and now I'm old. It's a blessing. Not a curse to grow old. It's a blessing. There's a lot of blessings to go along with it. Amen. I'm learning a few things down the road. I'm just going to be honest with you. There was a time in my ministry. Well, I don't know if I want to say that or not. But there's a time in my ministry, I'd probably have this crowd blow plumb out in the middle of the street. But now, I've seen some things going on. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've seen some things going on I don't like. I've seen some things going on I don't appreciate. I'm seeing some things going on that ain't right.
Amen. Amen.
But for the sake of peace and tranquility, I'm trying my best to let God work it out.
Amen.
And if God don't work it out, it can't be worked out.
Right.
Now somebody said, well, you've just got so old you've compromised. Well, you call it whatever you want to call it. But I think I've learned the heart, a little bit about the heart of God's people.
Amen.
A little bit about the heart of fallen man. I've studied people for a while, and I've learned a few things about them. Amen. That's right. And do you well to do the same thing. Do you think I believe everything everybody tells me? No, I don't. I'll tell you that right now. Man said one time, said, don't believe but about a third of what you hear. Don't believe nothing you hear and about a third of what you see, and you'll be all
right.
I don't believe a lot of things. People, you'd be surprised that people will look you in the face and lie to you thinking they're telling you the truth.
Amen.
Amen now. I once was young, but now I'm old.
Amen.
And in my age, I've learned to walk with God by faith. I've learned to walk with God and work for God, and witness for God, and worship God in a different way than ever have before. Now David proved that witness by the life and by the love that he had in his heart. And then there's a blessing of worship. You know, David wrote many of the Psalms when he was an older man. And if you read through those Psalms, you can't help but to see how David worshiped God.
That's right.
In spirit and in truth. There was some reality about it. It wasn't just something false. He actually knew what it was. And it wasn't just dancing before that ark as they brought it up either. Most of his worship was in the lonely hours of the night with a broken heart and tears dripping off his chin because his heart was broken from the sins of people and his own family and his own children and those around him. One fellow by the name of Shimei, when David was departing from Jerusalem, when he was an old man, his own boy reared up against him, tried to run him off, did run him off. And Shimei got up on a hill and threw rocks at him. And old Abishai wanted to go up and take his head off. And David said, "Nope, let him alone." They just let him alone. What a great man of God. What a great man of God. David said, "I'm older. I've learned some things." And it'd do us well to look back on our younger days and realize that there's some blessings in growing old. And I'm going to tell you, there's some hard knocks. They don't anybody like to face diseases that come upon us. Nobody likes pain. Nobody likes Social Security, welfare, food stamps. Well, I say nobody. Some folks do. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to come. It's going to come. There are some embarrassing moments when you get old. They really are. Can I say this? When you get old, you start trying to do things that you used to do and you find out you can't do them. And I found out there's some things I used to do that I can't do. I don't intend to do. Brother Gray was teaching in Sunday school this morning, talking about how Nehemiah, the leaders, got out and worked with the men. And that's great. There was a time that I did that too. But I'm going to tell you something. I've gotten old. And I've got limitations. You've got to learn those limitations. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There are some things that I'd like to do that I can't do. And sometimes some of those things that I would like to do and can't do, because I can't do them, they're embarrassing to me. They trouble my heart. They make me think that, well, people, I'm going to tell you, I started carrying that cane for a long time. I was embarrassed to carry that thing. But I'm not embarrassed to carry it anymore. Somebody asked me the other day, said, "What are you carrying that cane for?" I said, "What do you think? I'm looking for sympathy." Not bad. It'll work, you know. Miss Hall and I were sitting in a place today, and a lady came in one of those electric wheelchairs. Had the little levers on it. And I told Miss Hall, I said, "I'll probably be in one of them one of these days." She said, "No, I'll get you one to push you around then." I said, "No, I don't want one you push me around then." But I said, "I don't want one like that." I said, "I want one that's got the handles up here on it." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because I got on one of them down there at the church house. They had one, and they had two of them." I said, "I run that egg sucker through the wall and through the chairs and everywhere else." I said, "I couldn't get the grip with them little. It's kind of like that zero turn more over there, buddy. I'm telling you, I just can't get used to it all the way." But I may have to get him one of them. I walked in now. What was that down at the VA the other day? And was leaving, and the lady looked at me. We was nobody there. Me and Miss Hall and Jordan and that woman, and I hadn't seen, didn't know her, Madam Housecat. She looked at me and said, "Sir," said, "Would you?" She must have seen something in me bad. She said, "Would you like a wheelchair?" I said, "No, ma'am. I think it would embarrass me to sit in a wheelchair and let somebody push me around." But I'm telling you that I once was young and I'm now old. And there are some troubles that's going to come our way when we get old. And we might as well face up to it. There's one alternative to it. And I'll tell you what, I'll grow old rather than taking the alternative. Amen. I sure will. By the good grace and help of God. David said, "I once was young and now I'm old. But I have yet to see the righteous forsaken or received begging bread." I want to close in saying this. David, what he's saying is, when I was young, now that I'm old, God is with me in just as much power as he was when I was young. God can do for me and with me as much right now as he could when I was a young man. And he's not going to forsake me now either. He didn't forsake me then. He said, "If I fall, he'll lift me up," and he will. Amen. Now I want to say to those of you here tonight, there's some of us in here. We're not as young as what we used to be. And we can't do what we used to. But I want to say, on the authority of the Word of God, hang in there. God loves you. I can name you some. All you got to do is look around, and you can see us, Elder Statesman. We're sitting all over the place in here. And there's some things that we can't do that we used to do that we still like to. And it's a little troublesome to us. But I wouldn't let these young critters in here worry me too much about it. You know why? If they live to be old like we are, guess what? We're going to heaven before they do. Now you'll catch that by slow freight after a while. Right. We're going before they do. There's some blessings to growing old. One of them's called a green chair. Iced tea and lemonade. Port swing. Amen. No more time card. No more punching that time card, Brother Reed. One of these days you'll walk out of Walmart down there and say adios to Walmart. It's wonderful. It really is. And I'm going to tell you something. Growing old, I love my wife more today than I've ever loved her before. All of my life, after 45 years. Growing old, it's not that bad. There's some blessings in it. I don't believe you really learn how to love your wife until you get a little aged. I've been up, I don't know how many times, and I'm telling you the truth, I don't know how many times I've been to Kroger, and bought flowers for my wife. And I have never failed when I walk out to have somebody say, oh, that's the most beautiful set of flowers in the whole showcase. You know what I tell them? I don't say this braggingly. I say, I just buy the best for my sweetheart. I come out of there with some yesterday. Friday, the woman said, those are so beautiful. I said, I only get the prettiest for my wife. I've learned some things, young men. If you want to keep the honey in the honeymoon, hey, flowers are cheaper than alimony. They said, I once was young and now I'm old. Said, I've yet to see the righteous forsaken. All right, seed, begging bread. There are some blessings to growing old. Let's stand together.